come to the word of God this morning, the truth of the Lord be in our hearts and our hopes raised, our love, Lord Jesus, lost in you as your love breaks through the barriers of every and every heart everywhere. And Lord, while we worship you and we bless you, our eyes fixed on you, the risen Christ, in Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a seat. Opening your Bibles to the Gospel of John in chapter 20. John in chapter 20. And once you get there, we'll move you on to a next one. John in chapter 20. And then when you're there, put your finger there and slide over to 1 Corinthians 15 and keep your marker there, and we'll slide back to John chapter 20. So in John 20 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, on this Easter celebration and how precious it is and powerful. And as you heard the choir sing in the song we just sang, what love is this? In that celebrating last Sunday in Palm Sunday, and certainly, hopefully, you were on the events that transpired throughout the week. And then especially ever since Friday, Thursday evening and Friday, and at Thursday evening as Jesus was with his disciples for the last time. And then the arrest and the mockery of a trial, the crucifixion of our Lord on Friday, which brings us to this morning and his grand resurrection. And so if we are not careful and mindful, we skip from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday, and we forget what has happened in between, or we lessen its impact and its value, because unless there is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, unless there is the powerful Son of God that he is, there's no resurrection on Sunday morning. And if we do not have resurrection on a Sunday morning and have the power of the risen Lord Jesus, we are almost people. We are just most miserable. We're dead. We're done. And so I pray that as you grow in the knowledge and the wisdom of the Lord, that throughout the week, every week, all weeks of the year, you do focus and you meditate upon the price that was paid for your soul and who paid that price, and that only he could pay that price, and rejoice in him and his resurrection by his own power, his own strength there on Easter Sunday morning, that first morning of the week. And we pick up the account here, the women going to the empty tomb with their spices. The Sabbath was soon to be over, and they wanted to be there, and so they could go about their work early in the morning, and Sabbath being over, and they get in there in the early dawn, and again, minister to the body of Christ with spices and what have you. And so they were just reliving the scenes, as we always must, and never forget them. The strapping of our Lord Jesus to a post, the God of glory, and the lashings that he took, the blood that was shed, even throughout the scourging, which rarely was there a man, but unless the scourgings, the ones that doing the scourging were stopped, they died, so they could move him onto the cross, but not so the Lord. Because he is God. Never forget these things. And that he bore his cross. He carried his cross for a while up the way. And then Simon of Cyrene was pulled out of the crowd to finish carrying the Lord's cross. And there they laid him down and they nailed him there. Never forget these things. The price that was paid for us. Before we read the scripture, you know, Psalm 22 says about, I look and I stare, and all my inward parts, I see them. They stare at me. That's how badly he was just torn up. He says, my bones are all out of joint. Remember those little push-up toys, at least we had when we were kids, those of you are my age? You pushed up on the bottom and the thing went, bleh. You let it go. He says his bones are all out of joint. And there's not much holding him together. And when they took him down off the cross, dead, how it must have been. Our Lord. And the women are going to the tomb, and they don't even know how they're going to get the stone rolled away. They found out the stone was already moved. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And she ran, she came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, which is John, and they were going to the tomb, so they both ran together. The other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. He stooped down and he looked in and he saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then comes Simon Peter. Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, saw the linen cloths lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded it together in a place by itself. And the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and she looked into the tomb. She saw the two angels in white, sitting one at the head and one and the other at the feet. They weren't in there a moment ago, and now they're here for her, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now, when she had said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but did not recognize that it was him. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, that I may take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned to him and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "teacher." And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and told them the things that he had spoken to her. The Lord Jesus, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also vain. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is in vain. You are still in your sins. And then also, those who have died in Christ, fallen asleep in Christ, have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, and by man, capital M, also came the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father, and he puts an end to all rule, authority, and power, for he must reign till death, until he has put all enemies under his feet. And that last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and his word into our hearts. as these ladies came to the tomb that morning with all these fears, questions. The stone, the guards, will we be arrested? What will happen? Will we be killed? But in faith and in the power of love, they pressed on. How are we going to move the stone? How are we going to get in here? But they pressed on. You and I, as Christ's followers today, just as they pressed on in that early dark morning, by faith, trusting God, somehow their needs were going to be met. And they believed, and they know, because they saw Christ dead. He was dead. The one who performed miracles and did this and did that and fed thousands and multitudes. He's not going to be able to help us because he's dead, because that's where we're going. But you see, their love was so strong for him. Powerful for him. Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus cast seven demons out. How could you not fall in love with this Jesus, by whose power and love they felt, they knew, pure love, powerful love, agape love, godly love, the kind of love that the Church of Jesus Christ is now to grow into as born again in Christ. Pure love for others. They pressed on. Then the question that we ask in that, are we as Christians, do we live and press on in formidable circumstances, or do we let even the smallest of fear hold us back from serving Christ? And knowing that in the Lord and the Lord alone, he will provide all that we have need of for whatever he calls us to do. When do we fail to serve another simply because either we just don't want to, we don't feel like we can, or we've been a little bit offended, or we just don't know what we're going to say or what we're going to do, and so therefore we don't do it. And taking great lesson here that Christ, the one who made you and died for you and lives for you, goes before you as he calls you to serve in his kingdom. He'll take care of you no matter what. And as your love, as we've been studying in Philippians, your love for him just grows and grows and grows. It consumes you, and you move on in Christ. He is the Lord. He is the Master. He is the Almighty. When Jesus Christ died, so did our sins, the penalty of our sins forever. When he rose, so did our hope forever. And all who place their trust in Jesus Christ know this personally and intimately and deeply, powerfully, experientially. The Lord Jesus Christ, they moved on. So what we have this morning is like with the ladies, what they would soon to find out, these women and their disciples and all the world ever since these last 2,000 years. And that is, in Christ you have always a new possibility. There's a new opening for your life now. When you trust Christ as your Savior, old things are passed away, all things become new. You're the Lord. You're a whole new creature now in Christ. Your sins are removed. They're removed as far away from you as the east is from the west. They are cast into the deepest of sea, never to be remembered against you no more. The sins that Jesus Christ took on Calvary's cross for you and I, these sins, when he died, when he took God's punishment there on the cross of Calvary, the wrath of God, and it pleased God to do this for you and me against his son, upon his son. And when he died, that's when that payment was in full. God's justice was satisfied. And he died taking our death and our sin to the grave. And all who look unto Jesus live. Why? Because on that third day, he came out of that grave. He took our sins to the grave. But if he had not been risen on that third day, we would just die living a good life in Christ. And that would be it. And we would still end up in hell. But we find here in Jesus, in his resurrection, we have life. And no matter what the situation is in life, first of all, for the lostness of your soul, Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the only answer. Luke, and then we press on, he says, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living Christ here in this grave? this tomb. He's alive. He's not here. Come see where he used to lay. Earlier this morning, he came up out of there. He's alive. Remember, he told you he would do this. He told you that he would be crucified at the hand of sinners. He would die. He would be in the grave, and on the third day, he would rise again. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, and no matter what we have happening in our life, we have a new possibility. The Lord, no matter how dark or how gloomy or how hurtful or how deep the loss, but above all, being born again in Christ. Whoa, you got a whole new life to live now. You're forgiven, you're free. You belong unto Christ, the Lamb of God. He came out of that tomb, not only to give you life, but to lead you every day. As you look unto him, lead you as a shepherd leads the sheep. And when you go astray, he brings you back. He's your shepherd. And he loves shepherding you. You know, and forever he is yours. And when you're in a stone-cold tomb of brokenness and being busted and feeling hopeless, frustrated to the nth degree with whatever it is, feeling like, what is the purpose? Even feeling like, you know, how can I even hold on to the promises of God anymore? And just the whisper of his name. And the reason you whisper his name is because his love is on you so much, and he whispers yours first. And I am with you. I am with you always. Call upon me. And in my power, you will have strength in love, love, love to do what you think you cannot do. To press on. It is the glory of the Lord. You have a new potential. We love to read about the potter and the clay, where the potter takes the clay and breaks it down and molds and shapes a whole new vessel. You've got a whole new potential now. You're no longer resting on your own strength and your own power. That has shown that it cannot do. And now you have the power as a born-again Christian. You have the power of the risen Christ in you. Remember, we're studying that, Philippians 3:10. The power of the risen Christ. His resurrection makes all the difference. You have then a new perspective in life. You know, when you and I and any person gives up their life unto Christ, yields unto Christ, and all the baggage, all the stuff, and we're anything but flowers as we come to the foot of the cross, when we give everything unto him, he takes us and he blesses, he heals. He heals the brokenhearted. He restores the brokenness and the hurt and the disrespect or the violence and whatever it is that has happened in our life. He's the Lord. His blood is that rich. His spirit is that strong. The Father's love is that commanding and great. The Lord Jesus Christ. They believed. They believed. Mary, the other women and disciples, they believed in the resurrection because they saw it. How many was here on resurrection morning over 2,000 years ago? How many was there at the tomb and talked to the disciples? You're pretty old if you were. Then why do you believe? I'll tell you why you believe. You believe because you've had the story of Christ, his word preached to you, talked to you, you read it. That's why you believe. It is the power of the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ in your heart that led you to being born again as a child of God. And the other reason why you believe, because his spirit lives in you and his spirit dwells and bears with your spirit that this is true. And you know how your life has been changing and you're not the same person anymore. The Lord Jesus Christ, free unto the Lord. Someone told you about Jesus. These women, like the angel says, come see where he lay and go tell them. So you know, you go tell. Like someone told you, you go tell. Just tell your story. Tell someone how Jesus. Sit down and write out your testimony and just keep it short. Just right there. A few lines. Straight out. And read it. Get it. Share it. Don't stand there and read, well, this is what happened to me on such and such a day. You know it in your heart. But formulate it. That you can quickly tell it. Tell someone your story. Get used to telling your story. And the more you do it, the more comfortable you'll feel with it. Tell them of Jesus who was mighty to save. Just a whole new perspective in life. And we know that by the time we come to the end of our life, the fact is it'll be no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more heartaches, no more tears, no more death, no more dying. Revelation 21. It's a whole new outlook in life. And we know that as a child of God, because of the risen Christ, there's nothing in this life that could ever shut me down, separate me from God, keep me from doing what God has called me to do. It's resting in the living Lord. Let my will be thy will, O Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he is risen, we have a gospel that we can proclaim. If he's not risen, then what in all the world am I doing up here? Why do we get together and study our Bibles and share with others and teach others this? Why? What leads a person to leave their life's calling if that is the leading of the Lord? Come follow me. Just like he did with the 12. Come on, come on, come on, come on. And they dropped their nets and they followed him. What leads a Christian, what leads a person to give up their life in a family of non-believers, and you're the only one, and you're believing in Christ? It is the power of his love in your heart. His Spirit has borne upon you, and in your heart, he has opened your eyes, the eyes of your heart, the ears down in the ears of your heart, and you trusted him as your Savior. A whole new life. A whole new perspective. And this is the gospel. The gospel of Jesus you can share. You have a word to tell. There is hope for your friend. There is hope for your spouse. There is hope for your child. There's hope for your neighbor. There's hope for the person that doesn't like you very well. Go to them, smother them with love, okay? Share the gospel. You have a word to proclaim. And this is not only our privilege. It's our responsibility. It is the command. Jesus says, go preach the gospel. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Well, how do we have a gospel to preach? Because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Amen? He's risen from the dead. In a life lived with Christ, wherever it is in your mission field, in your life's calling, where you are, that's your mission field. Live it for Christ, boldly and loudly. And if they kick you out the door, he's got another door for you to walk in. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He is the Almighty. And because he's risen from the dead, just like we do, we sing praises. We have praises to sing. We got a victory to celebrate. And we're only going to suffer for a little while. It's praise God from whom all blessings flow. Amen. Praise God. We have a song to sing. And in the most sorrowful of a moment, in the highest peak of a mountain of blessing and joy, we can sing praises unto our God. We praise him and bless him when he takes away. We praise him and bless him when he gives. Everything comes from God and will return to God. It is the Lord. You know, and because, you know, we're just so privileged to be a child of God. Because in Christ we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. Who put you there? 'Twasn't you. He already sees us there. You didn't have... You know, you didn't fill out a form and sign it and then give it, hand it in, and it goes to a committee and what have you, and a bunch of angels. Yeah, I think he's good enough to be up here. No. It's because your sins were washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and your righteousness, his righteousness is now your righteousness. And Jesus already sees his children seated in the heavenly glories. We're just not there yet. How many going there? Yeah, me too. What are we going to talk about when we get there? Woo, boy, we're going to have a good time, aren't we? Boy, are we going to have fun. And we'll never look like some of our resurrected flowers didn't look too good this morning because they got really wind whooped. So there's a little lesson in that. You know, as you do life, yesterday we had flowers out here around the field. Anybody remember how windy it was yesterday? A little bit breezy. So they got whooped around and they didn't have enough water in their pots. Of course, when the wind was whipping them, they're sucking more water. So boy, they just look pretty bad this morning. Worse than that, you know, they're just kind of like drooping over. All right. Well, we're never going to be that way in glory. Even though sometimes the way that life deals with us and we feel that way. Never again. But you see, even when we feel that way and we're perishing on the outside, we're being renewed on the inside. He's the Lord. There's nobody who loves you like Jesus. What manner of love is this that we should be called the children of God? What manner of love? This love that sent his only begotten Son. Easter's all about love. Christmas is all about love. Jesus Christ in your heart is all about love. It's love. We sang, oh, what love is this? That Jesus Christ would die for me like this. The Lord. You have your Bible there open before you. Turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter in chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And here, so these passages, you go through so many passages and you read about the Christmas birth of Christ. You read about his dying, his shedding of his blood, his resurrection. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. The glorious, profound, beautiful, powerful, pure, holy blood of Jesus Christ were his. Perfect you. We studied that in Philippians chapter 1, in verse 6. The Lord, he who began a good work in you, will complete it. He's going to perfect every one of his children. Every one of his children. And we thank the Lord for his goodness. Born again in Christ, justified, sanctified, glorified, he is the Lord. He's going to purify you unto himself. We're looking for that glorious coming and soon appearing of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he's working in your life because he is purifying unto himself a people. And this is where the sifting is coming in. This is where people are dropping away from the Lord. Because his purifying work and his power, which always involves the work of the Antichrist in your life, the work of Satan, because he sends us through the fire and through the trials to purify our hearts. And in those battles, you're fighting the good fight of faith, a warfare under Christ, and Christ keeps strengthening you, and those that are truly Christ will stay the course. They will stay it no matter what, as he continues to grow and to purify your heart. It says in the Bible that many in the last days will fall away from Christ. Where's your heart, friends? Let it be found safe, hidden with Christ in God, the risen Lord. He is the Almighty. He will perfect you because all the promises of God are yours in Christ. Go through the Bible. Read about all the promises of God. There's one more. There's many more, but one more I'll bring to your attention as we close this morning. Starts with a P. Again. The word is prepared. In John 14, he told his disciples on that last Passover meal, that night. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. In other words, there's room for all. There are many mansions. If it weren't true, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Everybody go, it's okay. Yeah. He's going. He's preparing eternity for me. What he's preparing for me there, he's preparing me here for what he's preparing for me there. And so therefore, all the beginnings with the letter P that we went through this morning, if you perhaps wrote them down, you know, perfect you, establish you, and settle you, you know, bring in your life a whole new beginning, a new perspective, and purifying your hearts, and the power that brought again from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the power that lives in you, Christian. Lay hold of it in Jesus. He loves humility. Humility is the only way to live in Christ. He'll prepare you. That's what this life is all about. Preparing us to live in a prepared place for all eternity. All eternity? How long? All eternity. And are you walking with Christ as he is preparing you or seeking to prepare you? Do you hold him off? Are you born again? That's the first preparation. Have you trusted your heart and soul, your life, unto Christ in these few short years that we have? There's where it begins, humbled at the foot of the cross where Jesus died and let his blood cleanse over us. And you rise to continue to lead then a repentant life full of hope and joy and glory, no matter what it is. Joy is from the Lord. That's why it can't be taken. Happiness depends on stuff. That's why we lose it, even other people. But joy is from the Lord. Go back and reread the gospel accounts, every one of them about Easter morning. And then go back into and reread Philippians again. And while you're there, go back to Genesis and start right on through. Or you go to Revelation and read it backwards. Pick somewhere. But make sure you hit the Song of Solomon. Oh, the Song of Solomon. You want to know how much Jesus loves you? It doesn't get more real and graphic than in Song of Solomon. He is the Prince of Glory, loving on his children, his bride, and we are the bride of Jesus Christ, the redeemed, the Lord Jesus. So sometime this week, be sure you prepare and write out just a few lines that tells your story. Get it in here. Tell someone about Jesus. That you meditate on these things and you rejoice in God your Savior all the time, even while you're eating that Easter ham, buffalo burgers. Right, Danny? My dear loved ones, the Lord of glory came and died for us and rose again. What are you doing with that? What are you doing with that? And at least by one day, that great day of the Lord, you will know what you did with that. But don't wait till then. Today's the day. Walk with Jesus, and you'll be like the disciples before they even realized who it was. What did their hearts do, Mikey? they burned within them as they were walking with the Master. Let us stand, dear ones. Let us stand. Oh, dear Father in heaven above, we thank you for your love that you sent your only Son. And it pleased you. You were so in love with us that you gave your Son. You gave his back, his cheeks, his face, his entire being. You put on that cross, our sins laid there. And you poured out your pure white wrath of justice upon him as we sang that we might go free. Amazing love, what can it be? The Son of God given for me. Bless you, Lord. I pray, dear God, that the love of Jesus is beating in every heart and life. They know thee not, O Christ, our Savior. May thy Spirit draw them, draw them, draw them in your irresistible power and love. They say, yes, Lord, take me, because your loving kindness is better than life itself. Thank you. We have a song to sing and the gospel to preach and a life of hope to live. Let it be so. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing together. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, what better day than today? It's a must, because he lives. Let's sing.
Lived in.
Hallelujah. All fear is gone. Why is fear gone? Because your faith is in the risen one. That's why. Your faith is in the risen one. Faith casts out fear. Perfect love. Oh, be blessed in the Lord. Be blessed in Him. God, we bless You. We thank You. May Your love reign and rule in our hearts. Praise You, Jesus, for rising again. In Your name we live. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.